This is Tony Broom Ministries welcoming you for the old time preaching from God's Word to reach a new generation for Jesus Christ. Here's a message from Acts chapter 16, verses 13 through 18, entitled Two Girls in Different Worlds. We think about all the troubles going on in our world today, the upheaval that's happening in the Middle East and even in our own country. There are two sides, the left and the right. It's been that way since the very beginning. Man fell in the Garden of Eden. He got on the wrong side. He was on the right side, then he got on the left side. He got on the wrong side. Listen to the devil. We've been listening to him ever since. Jesus came and he stretched out his arms between heaven and earth. He stretched out his arms on the cross for us. There was one on the right and there was one on the left. One of them got right and the other one got left, because he made the right decision to follow Christ and the other one didn't. Our message today brings before us two women. We call them two girls. Two girls in different worlds. Now, they were in the same earth, but they were in different worlds. Just like we were in a different world when we were in sin than we are now that we're a Christian. It's a whole different world. You're still in the same world, the same earth, but it's a whole different world. Whole different ball game. It's more than a ball game, it's just expression, but it's a whole different life. The life that we used to live is darkness. The life that we live now is light. The life that we used to live is a life of sin. The life that we live now is a life of grace and mercy, peace, and we're right with God. We're not saved by feelings, but it sure does feel good to be right with God. Two girls in different worlds. Acts chapter 16, starting at verse 13. On the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. We sung that song about laying down our burden down by the riverside. You go down by the riverside and talk to somebody about Jesus. That's what they did here. They spoke to the women that resorted thither. Prayer was wont or accustomed to be made. This is a place where they had a prayer time, a prayer meeting, a prayer gathering. And the women came out and we spoke to the women that were gathered there. Women have always had a heart for God. The man is the leader, should be, of the spiritual leader of the home. But it's the women a lot of times who have a heart for the things of God. Perhaps it's the emotional thing. Women are more emotional than men most of the time, not all the time. But their emotions, that's good, and it can be bad too, to be driven by emotions. Women are open more to the things of God sometimes than men are. So it said we spoke to the women that were gathered there. It didn't say we preached to them. It didn't say we tried to ram religion down their throat. It just said we spoke to them. Sometimes you just have to open the door for the gospel to get in. God talks about opening the door of faith to the Gentiles. Here we have two ladies. I'm not sure the other one was a Jew or Gentile. Lydia most likely was a Gentile. She was a city of Thyatira. She is in one world, if you will, and the other girl is in another world. We've heard people say, girl, get in your world. Watch what you're doing. Get on your right side of the road, or whatever. They spoke to the women who were gathered there, and a certain woman named Lydia, her name means travail, a certain woman named Lydia. God cares for the whole world. Jesus loves the little children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. But he loves not only all the children of the world, but he loves us individually. Jesus loves all the children of the world, but he loves us individually. There was a certain woman named Lydia. Her name is Travail. Maybe your name means travail. Maybe you have lived in travail. A lot of women live in travail, not only, of course, when they have children, but they have a lot of sorrow in their life. Women are prone to worry more than men, not all the time, but a lot of times. The mother many times will worry about the home, will worry about her husband, will worry about the children. And sometimes they even worry because there's nothing to seem to be worried about. They worry because something bad might happen. If you worry about what might happen, you'll always be worried. A lot of times it ends up not even happening. When my mother was living, she used to call me. And she said, "Are you all right?" And I said, "Of course, Mom, we're doing fine." She said, "Well, I just wondered." I knew right then she was worried about something. I had a dream. And I said, "Mama, what did you eat before you went to bed last night?" She would have a dream, and you do too now. You're laughing about it, but that's what your children, you know when something is not right, and a lot of times it's, everything is all right, but you think something is not right. Well, it was, she was kind of picking a little bit, wanting to see if there's anything going on between me and the old lady, you know, making sure everything's all right. "Yeah, Mom, we all right." I didn't lie and say we ain't never had no problems, because nobody is like that. Amen. Except Jesus and Mary, and both of them's already in heaven. But Lydia means travail. She was a seller of purple. They dyed garments and would sell them, a way to make a living. And that's what she did. She was of the city of Thyatira, and she worshipped God. It says she worshipped God. That is, she adhered to God. She didn't worship a false idol. She worshiped God, but she was not a Christian. That is against a lot of people's theology, but what happens is a lot of us were raised to fear God even though we didn't really know God. Can I get a witness? We were raised to fear God. We were brought up to fear the Lord even before we actually became to know the Lord. So she worshiped God, and it says she heard us. They started off by speaking to the women who were gathered there, and they would just speak to them and encourage them and perhaps mention the name of Jesus. And now it says she heard us. She heard us talking about the good things of God. Now it's more of a zero-in effect, that we're zeroing in with the gospel, talking about how Jesus loves you and about how he can save you and he has a plan and a purpose for your life. And she heard the good news of the gospel. "Go you into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." The gospel is good news. When everything else seems to be bad news and falling apart, the gospel is good news. The gospel is the really only good news. There is bad news and there is fake news now, but the gospel is still the good news. It has not changed from the very beginning. It's still the only thing that has life and hope and peace and mercy. The gospel is good news. She heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let us make sure, brothers and sisters, preachers and teachers, believers, that when we preach, whether you are actually preaching in a position like I am, or whether you're preaching in your everyday living, let us make sure that we're preaching the right thing, that we're preaching good news, that we're preaching something that can save, something that can set you apart, something that can fill you with the Holy Ghost, something that will heal you, something that will lift you up and bless you. Let's make sure we're preaching the right thing. When she heard us, it says here, she heard the right thing. Whose heart the Lord opened. The Lord opened her heart. She had a heart that was open to the gospel. Thank God that he one day opened our heart to the gospel. Amen. Our heart used to be black. I'm not talking about skin color. I'm just talking about blackness and darkness of sin. Our heart was callous and covered over. Our heart was cold. Our heart was dead to the things of God and dead. We had no love. We may have tried to love our family or our children, but we did not know what love was until we came to God. He opened our heart. Lydia had a heart that was open to the Lord, that was open to the gospel, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. She paid attention. She gave heed to the things of the gospel. She not only heard the gospel, she not only listened to it with her physical ears, but she heard it with her spiritual ears. It went into her heart. God zeroed in on her. He opened her heart to the gospel. She attended to the things that were spoken to her of Paul. And it may be Paul, it may be Peter, it may be John or Jill or Sue, it may be Sam or George or whoever speaks, whoever preaches the gospel. The thing is, it doesn't matter who is doing it, it matters what they're doing, and it matters about the power of God. That the Apostle Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is a power of God unto salvation to all who believe, to the Jew first, also to the Gentile. It's the good news of the gospel. When the good news of the gospel is preached, not everybody, but somebody is going to get saved. Somebody is going to get right with God. We have to take stock in the churches sometime and make sure that we're preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. That we're not preaching a man-made religion. That we're not preaching a fabricated Pentecostal religion. It has to be the real, sure enough, Pentecostal religion. And if it is the Pentecostal religion, it will bless the Pentecostal, it will bless the Baptist, it will bless the Methodist, it will bless the Church of God, it will reach out to those who are not even affiliated with anything. The gospel of salvation. She attended to those things which were spoken. When you give heed to the gospel, you're doing the greatest thing that you'll ever do, to listen to the right thing. The commercial said, there's nothing like the real thing, baby. When you listen to Jesus Christ, when you get turned on to the gospel of Jesus Christ, your life will never be the same. Amen. And you may lose loved ones. You may face tragedy. There may be things in the nation that we can't explain. But it does not take away your joy, because your joy is built not in things of this world, but in Jesus Christ. She attended to those things which were spoken of Paul, and when she was baptized in water. She was baptized to prove that she had indeed given her life to Christ. There's no need to be baptized before you're a Christian. Because you can go down a dry sinner and come up a wet sinner, but you'll still be a sinner. You can be baptized in every pond, every pool, every mud hole, mud puddle in Vance County, to every bullfrog knows you by your first and last name. But unless you know Jesus Christ, you're still going to die in your sins and go to hell. And a preacher that makes too much money to tell you that, he makes too much money. When she was baptized, and the baptism here is certainly water baptism, but even though the scripture doesn't say the word, she was baptized, and it gives the idea that she was sanctified. She is set apart. When you're baptized, now baptism in water doesn't specifically necessarily sanctify you, but it does say that you are set apart for a purpose, that you are identifying with Jesus Christ, and you are giving the witness to this world and to the church in physical baptism, and it's a good thing to be sanctified too. And her household, she had influence in her household just like most women do. They'll either get you to do something, or they'll hound you till you do something. And so the best thing to do is just go ahead and do something. Go ahead and do it. Then you won't have to worry about hearing her anymore. But she did the right thing. She had influence, the right influence. Now she's a Christian. And now she wants everybody to know the Lord. She might have been singing that old song, "Everybody ought to know, everybody ought to know, everybody ought to know who Jesus is." Her household. But they didn't do it just because Mama said do it. Mama had influence on them. But they did it because they wanted to do it. Thank God for my mother. Thank God for her life. Thank God for her influence on me. Thank God for her help to me. But I do what I do for the Lord, not because of Mama, but because of Jesus Christ. You have to do it not because of Mama, not because of preacher, not because of bishop, not because of Sunday school teacher. All of those may have influence on your life, but you've got to do it for yourself. You've got to do it. As the song said, you've got to walk this lonesome valley. Nobody here can go it for you. You've got to walk it by yourself. That doesn't mean you've got to walk it alone. Jesus will be there with you. But the idea is you've got to make that decision for Christ for yourself. Her household came to the Lord, and she besought us, saying, "If ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there." And she constrained us. Now the idea here is she's gotten saved. She's gotten right with the Lord. God has opened her heart to the gospel. And one of the first things that you want to do, you've got to do something for the Lord. You want to do something for the Lord. When He opens your heart to the gospel, you want to do something. Yeah. It may be picking up bottles and selling them and getting the pennies we used to and giving it to missions, doing something. But you got to do something for the Lord. You want to do something. And she said, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and be my guest. Let me take care of you." And you know that even though it wasn't written, you know that they said, "No, we don't want to do that. That's a big burden. You don't want to take care of me and Silas and all our company and all that." Because it said she constrained us. She had to put a little pressure on them. "No, it's all right. I really want to do this. If you've judged me to be faithful to the Lord, you really know that I've been saved. You really think I mean business with the Lord? Let me put my faith, my money, my faith where my mouth is. Come into my house. I want to do something for God." So here is Lydia. She was lost, but now she's found. She was a sinner, now she's a saint. Now she's saved, she's a Christian. And here's the other girl in the other world. "Came to pass as we went to prayer." Now, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to know that at least two times here it said they went to prayer. First time they had prayer meeting down by the riverside. This time they went to prayer, doesn't say where. But this is something the Lord kind of jabbed me about a little bit. We can have a pandemic. We can have time to be at home. We can have time to wait. But are we praying as we should? I admit to you that sometimes I don't pray like I should. Lord have mercy. Maybe I'm the only one. Sometimes I have technological things that I think need to be taken care of, and it ends up taking more time than I want to give to something like that. "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." That means plastic, that means solenoids, that means circuit boards, that means whatever. Who would have ever thought that so many Americans and people across the world would spend their time looking at a 4-inch, 6-inch, 8-inch screen. Screen. Why don't they call it scream instead of screen? Because that's what makes you want to do, scream. No, I would say, brothers and sisters, that if we, and I'm not trying to make you like me, but I'm just saying we as a people of God in general, if we had been praying like we should have been praying, I don't think the church would be in the shape that she's in today, and perhaps even the world wouldn't be in the shape that she's in today. It says we went to prayer, not just that we prayed, but we went to prayer. We ran after it. Just like Lydia, she had that heart that was open to God, a heart that would run after God. And I said, Lord, give us a heart of worship. Give us a heart of praise. Give us a heart that would run after the things of God. You don't have to run after God to find Him. He's right there. But you need a heart that will run after the things of God. David said, Lord, my heart runs after You like the hart, the deer pants after the water. Let my heart run after the things of God. A little old dog I got, we let her out and she's bloop, 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 all over the yard. And I said, Lord, let my heart run after You like that. Her name is Little One. Let me run after You like Little One runs one side or the other. We went to prayer. Not just had a little, now lay me down to sleep. Count my blessings instead of sheep. Yeah, a little prayer there too. That's a good idea. We went to prayer. And when we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. She was like a fortune teller. And she made these men rich by using this evil spirit, and evil spirit using her, to do this evil thing. And they used it as an art, as a craft, as a money thing. She brought her masters much gain through soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days. You might say, well, that sounds pretty good. These men are the servants of the Most High God, who show to us the way of salvation. Yeah, but you don't want no devil trying to give false pseudo-witness to God. And she didn't do it like a preacher or like a singer trying to really get you saved. She was sarcastically and evil doing it. You don't want somebody following you all the time saying, these are these Christians. These are these Pentecostal folks. These are these people. They're showing you the way how to be saved. They want you to be saved. They're showing you the way to be saved. That's what she was doing. Paul put up with it for a while. She did many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. You and I could do the same thing, because Jesus said, I give you power over all the power of the evil one. But we're not going to do it, brothers and sisters. And that thing that I talked about a while ago, about our frivolous way of prayer. If we don't have a prayer life like the apostles had, we're not going to get the results that the apostles got. We have to have a prayer life. We have to put the loaf bread in the oven long enough for it to get toasted. Hello. We got to put the biscuits and the bread pan and the stove. Don't say stove, say oven. Boss Bread said that. We got to put the biscuits in the oven long enough for them to get done if we're going to have any cornbread or biscuit for dinner. And that's the way it is in prayer. You got to stay in the kitchen long enough to feel the heat. Because if you don't get close enough in the furnace to have no heat, you're going to be in a cold world where a lot of devils and a lot of boogers and a lot of evil folks and bad spirits are. We got to have the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The power of the Holy Ghost. The apostles had the power of the Holy Ghost. When they met with this evil spirit, they put up with it for a while. And finally, Paul said, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. They didn't have to meet with the elders. They didn't have to get a committee together. They didn't have to be at church and pray all night. That's what we do. 75 people get together and pray all night for one demon to come out. All it took is a command in the name of Jesus, and he came out the same hour. While the conversion of Lydia rejoiced the hearts of many and resulted in a number of people being saved, the deliverance of this second unnamed girl made her boss men mad. resulted in Paul and Silas being beaten and thrown in jail. Imagine being beaten and thrown in jail for not doing anything wrong, for actually doing right, preaching the gospel. Seems like the more people that are saved, the more people that are healed, instead of this world embracing the gospel, a lot of times they do, but the evil crowd, the religious crowd, is the one who will be against you. These men got mad because their fortunes, their way of making money, was taken away. They rose up persecution against Paul and Silas, had them beaten and thrown in jail. But at midnight, Paul and Silas sang praises to God. Instead of being discouraged, say, we're going to quit, they said, we're not going to quit. We're going to sing praises to God. Amen. There was a jailhouse rock and a whole lot of shaking going on. The jailer and his family got right with the Lord. In verse 30, being terrified and scared out of his wits, the jailer falls down before Paul and Silas and brings them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Sometimes Jesus knows how to get your attention. He can rock your world if he needs to. He can lay you down if he needs to. He can open up a starry sky if he needs to, whatever he needs to do. But he's already done what he needs to do. He went to the cross of Calvary to save us all. He need not do any more. He shed his life's blood and gave himself to save us all. Verse 31 and 32, and they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. They didn't say, well, you got to let us go. They didn't say, well, you got to pay a lot of money for what you did to us. They didn't say you got to jump over a building. They didn't say you had to climb a tree. They didn't say you had to join a church. They didn't say any of that. They said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know that that's the condition for all of God's promises? To believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You do that to be saved. How are you sanctified? You believe. You believe you're sanctified, and you are. He already wants to sanctify you. All you got to do is believe and accept it, receive it by faith. Hallelujah. Spirit baptism is not as hard as we make it. He already wants you to be filled. The promise is for you, to your children, to all who are far off, even as many as the Lord our God will call. All we got to do is receive it by faith. Same thing with divine healing. Receive it by faith. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved in your house. Does that mean his house will be saved automatically? No, they had to believe just like he had to believe. Some people have tried to put that promise on you. If you believe, that means everybody in your house is going to automatically come to God. No, it doesn't. Sometimes you'll be thrown out. But you believe anyway. And they spoke to them the word of the Lord. They spoke to him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. They didn't just speak to him the word of God. They spoke to all that were in his house. Yes, it's a public thing. It's a group thing. It's a corporate thing. But it's also an individual thing. In verse 40, finds God's girl, Lydia, Jehovah's new daughter, continuing to be faithful to the Lord and to his servants. And they went out of the prison, that is Paul and Silas, they let them go finally. They went out of the prison and entered into the house of Lydia. And when they had seen the brethren, they comforted them and departed. It didn't say that the brothers, when they saw the brethren, the brothers said, oh, you poor thing. Let me see your back, you poor thing. I hate you got a whipping. Let me rub you down with a little alcohol. Let me make you feel better. That's all right too, but it didn't say any of that. What it actually said was when they went out of the prison, they entered into the house of Lydia again, and when they had seen the brethren, they comforted them. The ones who had been beaten, the ones who had been mistreated, they didn't wait to be comforted. They are the ones who comforted the brothers, and the brothers should have been comforting them. When you get what I'm talking about, you don't have to sit around and wait for somebody to hold your hand, wait to be comforted. When you get what I'm talking about, and what I'm talking about get a hold of you, you can comfort them even though you're the one who's been mistreated. Lord have mercy. You can comfort those. Paul said, we comfort those who are in any trouble. We ourselves have received consolation, and now we can comfort those. We can be a blessing to others. When they had comforted them, they departed. God will give us the opportunity. Two girls in different worlds, whole different worlds, but God brings us together. They ended up being brought together. We don't know that the one girl, the second girl, we don't specifically know that she had the testimony that Lydia did. She didn't have the testimony that Lydia did. She didn't house the apostles. She didn't do great things like Lydia did. But we know one thing, she got delivered. And now the two girls in different worlds are the two girls in the same world. All of us may have come from different places geographically. All of us may have come from different places in the walk of life. All of us may have been in different worlds. We were all in the same world once upon a time. We were all in sin. Now perhaps some of us are in one world and some of us are in the other, but we end up all being in the same world. Because when we get together, when the saints go marching in, oh Lord, I want to be in that number when the saints go marching in. And all people from every nation, tribe, and tongue, all the multitudes of the world, red and yellow and black and white, Jew and Gentile alike, gather together around the throne of God. And what brings us together? That born-again experience, salvation, brings us together. Being sanctified and right with God, the Holy Ghost brings us together. Jesus Christ brings us together. It doesn't matter whether you speak Chinese, whether you speak Hebrew, whether you speak English, French, German, Spanish. It doesn't matter what it is. Jesus Christ makes a difference. He brings the body of Christ together. And the body of Christ is one. We may be in different time zones. We may be in different locations. We may be in different countries. We may be in different hemispheres. But it doesn't matter. We're all together in Jesus Christ. And he prayed for that. He said, Father, I will that they be one, even as we are one. He brings us together. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity. Look at these two girls in different worlds. I pray today, Lord, that you would use this word from Acts chapter 16. Use it for the glory of God. Use it for the good of the church. Use it to bless others. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to the old time preaching from God's Word to reach this generation for Jesus Christ. Our scriptures have come from Acts chapter 16, verses 13 through 18. The title has been, Two Girls in Different Worlds. Make sure that Jesus Christ is your Savior and your Lord, and He is the King of your world today. This has been a production of Tony Broom Ministries.